I don't think I know this.
Yeah, let's play. This Passover meal fades out as the last Passover, while the first supper of the Lamb phases into view. And we have become participants in the greatest love story ever written. So join me as we read this, and if you are able, would you please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, since we don't have a terribly long reading. Starting in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, I guess you have that up there, and then we will move to Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at table, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Now over to Revelation 19, starting at verse 6. "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like the loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.' Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" Yes, these are the true words of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me for a moment? Lord, truly these are words, all of these are your words to us, and they are precious to us because of who you are. So open up our hearts to what you have to say to us, and oh Lord, move us in a way that causes us to cling to you for dear life, because oh Lord, you have purchased us for something more than even salvation itself. You have purchased us to make us your own, and Lord, we thank you. So be with us and guide us in your word this morning. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, as we read that, do you see where this is going? What's going on here? Where this is ultimately going. I'm glad that we have revelation through which we can interpret the Lord's Supper, because that really tells us where this whole story is going. The wedding feast of the Lamb in Revelation sheds a whole lot of light on the Lord's Supper, especially when we read how Jesus walks us through it here in Luke's gospel. And we'll see that unfold before us as we move through it. From the very beginning, Jesus opens up his heart to us when he says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. That says something about the value that he places on this and what he intends to do with it that is something that they do not expect. Can you hear the passion and the anticipation in his voice? Jesus, our host, the bridegroom, has been longing for and lovingly prepared for this moment because of what his disciples, who represent all of us, mean to him. And because of what this meal will become for us. This is the Lamb of God wrapping himself into this Passover, making it his offering of himself for us, for our redemption, and for making us his own. This is the bridegroom expressing his devotion and love for his bride and the occasion for his betrothal to himself. At this meal, a transition takes place from the Passover of the Old Covenant, represented by the first cup, to the new covenant in Christ's blood, represented by the last cup after the supper. Did you pick that up as we read? There were two cups, and they each had a different purpose. In speaking of his suffering in connection with the Passover, at the outset of the meal, he's telling us that he is fulfilling the role of the Passover lamb. And then that's the end of it. That not only the eating and the drinking of it, but also every action and word spoken reminds us of his sacrifice on our behalf, driven by his deep love for us. This is why he said not merely eat and drink, but to do this. In other words, imitate his actions. And so we imitate his actions in the breaking of the bread to remember the extent of his suffering in the flesh for us, and why we pour out the drink into the cup to remember the greatness of his love for us, that he would shed his blood to atone for our sins and to purchase us for himself. All these words and actions bring to mind the remembrance of everything we have in Christ that makes us thankful and that gives us hope. If he did this much for me already, why would I expect any less from him now or in the future? Paul's response is, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? From first to last, everything about this meal, including the word remembrance, points us forward to what we have to be thankful for and to the hope of what more is yet to come. Jesus set the mood as one of celebration when he shared how much he looked forward to this. And then by giving thanks for the first cup of the Passover, the cup of thanksgiving, and then to say, pass it among yourselves, is to enter into fellowship and into communion together at the table. Into communion not only with him, our Lord and Savior, but also with one another. And so discerning the body, as Paul put it, has two meanings. Discerning the body of Christ, his physical body and his suffering, but also the body of Christ in terms of one another, that we are in this together, that we share this as the bride of Christ. Of course, what is recorded here is very abbreviated. There was certainly much more to the meal up until he broke the bread at the very end, at these last verses that we read. And then again, giving thanks. And then after the supper, pouring a new cup of wine. Oh yes, there is much more, so much more going on here that keeps us looking forward. What Jesus is saying is that the Passover ends with him here. When he had earlier said of the Passover, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God, and of this cup, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He is putting the Passover behind us. For them, for the Jewish understanding, at that time, the word until did not always assume a later continuation of the same thing, but the likelihood of something altogether different that would take place. Jesus is the Passover's fulfillment once and for all. And also, now this supper is about to be transformed into something else with the expectation of something even better to come. This meal now represents our union with Christ, our perfect Redeemer, our total communion and fellowship with him in a new covenantal relationship sealed in his blood, which he poured out for us. And so we symbolically pour it out to remember that. And did I say there is much more going on here? It keeps us reminded of who he is to us and of the promise sealed in his blood. John 14, after the supper, Jesus gave this promise that we read earlier, and I'm going to read it again. In my Father's house are many places to live. This is a Jewish translation. If there weren't, I would have told you. Since I am going to prepare a place for you, I will return to take you with me so that where I am, you may be also. That's a promise from Christ, the bridegroom, to his bride, the church, to us. And speaking to each of us individually, Revelation 19, verse 9 says, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. In other words, God said it. Believe it. It's as good as done. And so in this time of betrothal, while waiting for Christ to bring her home, how does the bride make herself ready? Backing up to verse 8, we are told, fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous deeds of God's holy people. I want to back up a little bit. I have some pages stuck together. It doesn't make any difference, though. When Jesus said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you," he had something more in mind than what we normally think of. Well, it certainly includes the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of sins, but it also means so much more. It speaks of the greatness and the greatest love story ever told, as I mentioned before, that it is one that drives the very reason for the gospel and, in fact, drives the very reason for everything else, period. Often we think of salvation as the end of the story, as that we were meant for salvation. Salvation, no, is there's a purpose to our salvation that is even greater than salvation itself. Douglas Kelly writes, "The Almighty Father planned to give his son the finest gift a father could give a son, a beautiful bride. So why did God make the world? Why did God put me in it? It was because he wanted his son to have a marvelous bride, and he has invited us to be part of that. That was always God's plan all along. That is why he gives us salvation." Zephaniah 3:17. Again, a Jewish translation. I love the wording here. Zechariah 3:17. This tells us, you see, that this isn't just pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. This isn't just something that we are waiting for in the future. This is now. This assures us that in the meantime, we are already the bride of Christ as the church. We already wed to him in this particular culture, the way that they think of it. When someone is betrothed, you see, they're married and they're waiting for the dowry to be paid, and then the husband and wife are joined together. But God always sees us, and he always has throughout all of Scripture. He sees us a certain way. And we need to understand how God sees us. It says, "Adonai, your God, is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will delight over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love." And picture this. This is hard to picture. But this is God and how he sees you. "He will dance for joy over you with singing." Wow. In the context of marriage, Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what we see in Revelation 19. In fact, the whole book was leading up to this very event of the wedding feast of the Lamb. In fact, all of Scripture's leading up to this wedding feast of the Lamb. And if you go all the way to the end of the book, all the hosts of heaven and all the people before the throne and all of us are saying, "Come, Lord Jesus," because we are waiting for our bridegroom. So it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." The Bible, from all the way from Genesis on, has been leading up to this. And really, it's the Lord's Supper that introduces us to the wedding feast of the Lamb. It celebrates our union with Christ, just as baptism represents our union with Christ. With that last cup poured out, Jesus is promising us more than our salvation. He is promising us Himself. He is promising us Himself in union. He is telling us that He is about to pay the dowry for us. And oh, what a costly dowry. But He was willing to pay it in full in order to bring us to Himself. And so since that day, which seems like a long time coming, though in God's eyes it is like only a day or even a moment, we are living in that time of betrothal, in amazing anticipation of that glorious day when the wedding feast will come. That is the hope bound up in the Last Supper. And so now in this time of betrothal, while waiting for Christ to bring her home, how does the bride make herself ready? Well, backing up to verse 8, we're told fine linen, what we read earlier, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. This simply means continuing to live by faith in the finished work of Christ on our behalf. Having been purified by His blood and clothed in His righteousness, we wait patiently for the one who bought us at the cost of His own blood. And we rely on His Spirit to transform our lives to be like His, so that we are a perfect match, like Adam and Eve, where God says that she was made precisely suitable for Him. He had this whole story in mind when He said that. Preparing the bride for Christ. And then we have the delight of His Word. Imagine, doesn't the lover of your soul have words that you want to read over and over and over again? And don't you want to talk to Him whenever you can? So we have prayer. We have access to Him anytime we want. You don't need to text. You don't need to pick up a phone. You don't need to, write and pay for a stamp, which is going up and up. You just call Him up in prayer and talk to Him. And you open up His Word and you have a conversation with Him about what He has to say to you. All of this that we find in Scripture. I was going to pick up a Bible. This will do. All of that is His love letter to us, to tell us how to walk with Him in fellowship and communion, to delight in Him, to grow up in Him, to become that purified bride. Because we know His love for us, we love Him too. Because of what He has already done for us, we know how deep His love for us is. And know that we can trust Him to be faithful to keep His word. Keep His word for us while we wait. Because He gave His life for us, we want to live for Him. And we gladly wait for Him because of who He is to us. The language of marriage is the language of intimacy displayed in our communion with Christ in the supper, especially when we see it as the first supper of the Lamb. We have this not only to remember Him, but also to increase our faith as we wait for Him. And oh, we know that He is worth waiting for. Pray for me. Let's pray with me, please. Oh Lord, you are worth waiting for. You are worthy, as it again says, in you are worthy to be worshipped because you gave everything to purchase us for yourself, to bring us to yourself. And in the meantime, oh Lord, you are with us. You said you will never leave us. And so, Lord, we trust in those words because you have proven yourself faithful to us. And we thank you. Amen.